through Ephesians. It only took us since September. So, just a reminder, the first three chapters of Ephesians is how God sees the church. And what we're going to get into next week, 4-6, is going to be how God wants the world to see the church. First three chapters is who Jesus is, what he's done for me, and what he's done in me. And the last three are what I'm to do for others. That's going to be chapter 4. Chapter 5 is how I'm supposed to grow. And chapter 6 is what I'm supposed to do to my enemy, Satan. So, look at that. We have all that practical stuff to look forward to. So we're going to finish up with Ephesians 3, 18 to 21 today. So I'll just read it. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's a nice way to end one part of a book. So, we've got a word here, comprehend, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. And he's looking at comprehending the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of God's love. Can you do that, you think? Now, in English, comprehend means understand. In Greek, it means lay hold of, make one's own, seize and take possession of it. So, if he's asking you to seize and take possession of it, to lay hold of it and make it your own, he wants you to grab for something, right? He wants you to comprehend it. He wants you to internalize it. He wants you to make it your own. And this is the vastness of God's love for us. We had this on our, when we got married, right, dear? The length, the depth, and the height. We had that on our, okay, that's right. Proverbs 25:3 says, heaven for height and earth for depth, the heart of kings is unsearchable. Isn't that good? And the heart of our king is really unsearchable. Now, I had to get outside my comfort zone because I had to look up some physics and math. Those were not two of my highlights. I was EQ, not IQ. Physics, space-time math model. Did somebody say amen or something? No. The space-time math model, Minkowski's theory. Minkowski's theory. This is what it is. What Minkowski did is he combined earthly measures of length, width, depth, with time to create a fourth dimension. The universe is measured by all four dimensions. God created space, which resulted in time. Also being created simultaneously with space, so that you ended up with this time-space continuum. And for you that understand that math and physics and everything else, God bless you. And I'm sure that there's equations to, you know, what the universe is before or after the Hubble telescope. But this is how I understand science, okay? Very easily. I wrote it on the board because somebody showed me this a long time ago. And the six scientific essentials are in Genesis 1 and 2. Okay? First thing is, in the beginning, time. God, force, created energy, the heavens, space, and the earth, matter, and the Spirit of the Lord was moving over the surface of the waters, motion. So there you go. Just in the first two verses, you've got the six scientific essentials. God knows what he's doing, right? It's just not Moses sitting there, you know, writing the Bible. So, since God is infinite and he's outside of time and space, if you took time and space and just kind of went like this with your hands, he is outside of it this way and this way. That's why to him, the death of his son is right then and there now, even though it happened 2,000 years ago, because God's outside of time and space. Can you see that all right, or is the stuff in the way here? God is infinite outside of time and space. These dimensions of his love are infinite too. And yet he wishes us to lay hold of and take possession and apprehend for ourselves that vastness. Go figure. Right? He wants you to seek him out. He wants you to spend time. He wants you to search. Even though it's infinite. This is a poem written by a saint who was in jail, and he wrote it on the walls of his prison. This is what he says. Could we use with ink the ocean's fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would draw the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Isn't that good? I'll read it again. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would draw the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. So to know experientially the fullness of God is to know Jesus, because why? How would you know the fullness of God? If you know Jesus, you know the fullness of God, because it says he was the fullness of the Godhead, Colossians 2:9. So you might say, that's impossible, and that's infinite, and we can't understand that. Well, you know what? Spend some time with Jesus, get to know him, read about him, get to know him, you'll get to know the fullness of the Godhead. Verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God does all things above and beyond and super abundantly. And I know we just all prayed because we're all going through really trials and stresses and everything else. But God is super abundant. Above and beyond all things. He is. He's the God of the impossible. So sometimes he waits for it to just be impossible because he wants to get the glory. Well, that's kind of selfish. Well, he says he'll share his glory with no one. That includes every one of us. He wants to get the glory. You know what happens when God comes through like right at the 11th hour and you're like just stunned? That's he gets the glory. He knows your needs better than you do. He does. Oh, God, I need that Mercedes. No. Oh, God, I need this. I need it. He knows the exact need that you need, that you have. I'll never forget when Josiah, our oldest, when we were going, he was graduating in 03, and we went to the award ceremony that neither one of us wanted to go, and Tony made us go. Because he had all these honor cords. You know, they have them. They put him around honor cords because he had. How did he learn Japanese and get Japanese Honor Society? Yeah, 6 Honor Society things. Well, I didn't want to go, and he didn't want to go, and she made us go. Well, I've been talking to Josiah, you got to fill out stuff for scholarships. Because we don't have any money to send. And this kid, if any one of our children, be careful, but if any one of them needed to go to college and had grades and everything, it was him. You know, he's a 3.9 student. So we're sitting there that night, And, you know, it's always the Tiffany's that get the scholarships. Did you know that? Yeah, it's the little girl Tiffany in the front. You know, Tiffany so-and-so, come on up here. You got $1,000 from Home Depot. Tiffany, come on up here. You got, you know, $1,000 from the Lions Club over in King City. Tiffany, come on up here. You got, because why? Because girls fill the paperwork out and the guys don't. That's why. Right, girls? Yes. So Tiffany all night long is getting these scholarships, $1,000 here, $500 here, whatever. And we get to the end, and the assistant principal says, folks, we have the Robert Regal Scholarship. Robert Regal was an attorney who used to go to Tigard High, and every year he put up a full Scott Ride scholarship to an Oregon school for one student. One. At the time, it was $40,000. Now it's $50,000 for an Oregon school. And he says, this is the big kahuna of the night. This is the big reward, you know, $40,000. Josiah DePauli, come up here. You won this. We were like shocked. Nobody told us. Shocked. He was shocked. We were shocked. Tony's screaming. So we have, you know, we don't have money set aside to go to school. $40,000 he went to Oregon State, had it all paid for. Now, he did take 3 years in the basement for a job, which was humbling, but he has a nice job now. And he blessed his parents with a Price is Right Don Pardo parting gift. No, I'm just going to. I kept going around the house. Do you know, Price is Right, they always have a parting gift for the contestant that stays the longest anyways. But I think what I'm sharing this is that God knows your needs better than you do. And he knows just when to give it and how to give it so that it humbles you. Knowing that his kindness leads you to repentance. That's what worked in my life at the time. Now, there's a little phrase in here that's very, very convicting. And it says, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Remember, it says super abundantly, hypo, all things above and beyond, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What? God is limited by us? This is what it says. This power of the Holy Spirit that works in us is determined by the yieldedness of the believer to the Holy Spirit. The saint determines what God is able to do through him. It does not limit God. We are the only limit. You get that? That's what the construct of the words mean. It is determined by the yieldness of the believer to the Holy Spirit. The saint determines what God is able to do through him. There is no limit to God. We are the only limit. So, you probably wonder what this is and all that stuff. This is my little example of the House of Hoes that we used to talk about here. So, for instance, what if you have the size of a straw? And that's your... what you have to offer to get the power that works in you. Now, this is good for putting a trach in somebody if you need to save somebody's life. It's good to suck, you know, water or juice or whatever. But what if that's your according to the power that works within you? What if that's your yieldedness? That straw, will it still do something? Yeah, a little bit. Because you're like, I don't know if I can trust God. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I should, right? So you maybe have a straw. That's your house of hoes. You have a straw. And that's the power that God is going to use, that you have determined that God is able to do through you the size of a straw. Now, this is the size of a hose. I didn't want to bring a whole hose. No, but that's about the size of a common garden hose. Okay, little PVC pipe. What's that good for? It's average, right? You water your garden, okay? Wash your car. I mean, it's just for average. Is it good? Sure. Is it usable? Sure. But that's it. That's how much that we limit God to the portion of a hose. Garden hose. Common garden hose. Okay? Now, how about this thing? Right? It's one of those blowers, right? Couldn't get a fire hose. Look at the circumference of that. How much could flow through there? A lot. A lot more. The saint determines what God is able to do through him. There is no limit to God's power. We are the only limit. So, you want to be a straw? Want to be a hose? Or do you want to be a culvert and a, you know, a blower here? How much do you want God to flow through you? It's according to your yieldness to the Holy Spirit. That's it. So, here's a question. Do you allow a trickle of his power to flow through you? Are you an average hose? You know, average like everybody else? Or are you a blower size and gushing all over? It's up to you. Same power, same Holy Spirit. It's up to us. According to the power that works within you. And it finally ends, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. You don't get the glory, even if you're this size, you know, this size to work through, you don't get the glory. The lights in here, right? Some of them are different wattages. It's the same electricity rolling through it, whether you're a 25-watt bulb or a 100-watt bulb, right? It just depends on how much you let the electricity roll through you and light up the place. Same thing as the hoses. So, again, like I said, is this useful? Yeah, I can take a drink. Usually you throw it away. A trach if you need it. Okay? Do you want to settle for that? Do you want to settle for the hose? Just the average, common, everyday, everybody's like you. I'm like everybody else. Or do you want God to gush through you? It's up to you. It really is. The saint determines the yieldedness and also what God is able to do. We're the limit. And that's how we end chapter 3. That's how we end what he's done in me. And that's kind of interesting. That's how that ends like that. What he's done in me and what he can do in me. If I let him. Okay? So next week we'll start chapter 4. And hopefully it won't take 8 months to get to the end of the chapter. But if it does, it does, right? Because we always learn something. There's always something in there. All right, why don't you put your Bibles aside, and Paul, you pass the baskets around for tithes and offerings, and let's pray.